Hi, I'm Kim.
I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast, Parenting Young Adults with Kim and Tora. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've been gone a while, a little vacation, probably going to have a few more before the summer's over, but we're here now and we're so happy that you're joining us today. So Tora, you have something you want to start us off with to talk about?
Yes. I first wanted to talk about what's going on in my personal life. I have a goddaughter and I call her Mickey. She just graduated from college in Boston and she's getting a job with one of the most highest Fortune 500 companies out there. I won't say the name of it for her privacy, but she is going to be making six figures off the back. She's getting a company car. I'm just so proud of her and she's doing all of these things. And she was hanging out with the girls this weekend, my daughters, and they were just, you know, spending money. And I gave her a couple of dollars for her graduation. But I was like, at her age, should I tell her? Like, she has great parents. Both her parents are college graduates and her mother will be on next week. And so that'll be something we can also ask her. But I was like, with that much money, making six figures, fresh out of college, 22 years old, do they know about investing? Like, when is it too soon that we should put those burdens on them that we know? Because, you know, we live long enough that we always say, if we knew then what we know now, it would be different. Do we just let them enjoy their life for now and just spin it up, enjoy it, or do we just trust that they'll know? Like, they'll know right off the bat to invest and to save because you're going to be my age one day and you're going to be like, why didn't I do it? So when do we let them know that it's another world out there, or do we just let them learn like we did?
I think there are a couple of things with that. Number one, they're always showing those forecasts that if you started at 25 or 22 and you only saved $100 a month or some 50 ridiculously low amount, that by our age you would be off the chain with money. Yes. So there is the advantage of starting them early so that they can save minimal amounts to accumulate and compound and all of that sort of thing. What I tell my kids, and I'm not really all that big on investing right now because it's my personal belief, I think the stock market is going to crash. I think there's just been too much going on with the pandemic. Now they're coming up with these fake shortages. Like, how are we out of gas when everybody's been in the house for a year and a half?
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's just so fake. But I think that there's going to be a problem. So I'm not pushing them to invest. But what I have always told them is pretty much my philosophy on almost everything is that you have to find a balance. So you have to enjoy your life so that if you, and so spend some money and have fun so that if you die tomorrow, you have enjoyed your life, but save some. And if you choose, invest so that if you live till 100, you have something. So I'm always even like work and play, whatever the situation is, I'm always saying, find that balance between really enjoying now and preparing for tomorrow. And if you believe that the stock market is the way to go and she's going to be making six figures, I think that is not a bad idea to have that conversation.
Buy houses and rent them out. You know, whether you do it Airbnb or whether you just rent them out to Section 8 or just a regular, you know, renter. You know, I just think I knew that back in my day. I just didn't have the finances to do it. I mean, I shouldn't say I didn't have the finances. I just didn't have the wherewithal. But I just always want to know, is that too much, too young for them to handle? And if it isn't, I mean, I know some kids are cut out for it. I mean, to me, she's still a kid. I remember when she was
10. That's a kid to me. She's graduating college.
Yeah.
My son's graduating next year. Your son recently graduated. They're all kids to me.
Yeah, and you're right. And he's still trying to figure it out.
Oh, he's an investor though. He's an investor.
Yeah. He's into the stock markets and everything. And I have been pushing real estate lately on him, but I feel like he's old enough now to, if he has to go, you know, find a house or know that, you know, or find a management company to help run the house. I feel like he's old enough now that he can take on that burden. But when you're fresh out of college, I'm always saying, what's too much for them? You know, I hear young kids now just having these grown, this little boy I just saw on Ellen developed something almost like a ring for his mom for facial recognition to unlock the door. And he's like 12. to unlock the door for her because she has
Black King, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I love us. I love us. Yes. Okay.
So, I kind of like, you know, I mean, think like, okay, well, wow, if you're born with it, I guess it's okay. But if you're not,
then somebody should have that conversation with you, because maybe you'll look back and say, wow, maybe she will look back and say, wow, I wish you would have told me, because nothing's lost by having the conversation. If she decides, I'm not ready for that right now, at least you planted a seed. Maybe in a few years, it'll come to fruition and she'll
do
it. But what if she just doesn't, it's not something she thought about, and you planted and she's like, you know what, God, Mom, I'm going to do that. You can always have the conversation. I try to have conversations and say, the choice is yours, but I just wanted to run this by you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm going to do too. I think I'm going to like sit down with her one day and just be like, okay, listen, I'm going to tell you what I know.
Right.
You know, I'm going to tell you what I know. I'm not, you know, someone you need to follow. I'm just telling you all the mistakes I made so you don't make them.
Right.
My advice to people. I'm not telling you to do it because it worked for me. I'm telling you to do it because I didn't do it, but I saw others do it and it worked for them.
Mm-hmm. I think she would appreciate that. Even if she says I'm not ready, at least you share. And that's something that I try to do too. Even like if I think a friend is really going down the wrong path or something like that, and I'm pretty much a do as you will type person, just let me do what I want to do. But I always will say, I'm just telling you this because it seems to me that this is the case. And if I don't say it to you, I will always feel bad. I will regret.
That's me.
At least tell you, but feel free to ignore the heck out of it. I've just got to let you know this is what I think.
And ultimately, they do whatever they want anyway. So it's just, I need to feel like I cleared my conscience with it. So
and yeah. I tried, and I mean, you know, because I wouldn't want to have knowledge and then you do something and I'm like, yeah, girl, I knew. No, yeah. I'm going to tell you and you can do what you want and we'll still be friends and I'll still help you. Mm-hmm. If you don't take the advice and it doesn't work out for you, I'll still try to help you, but at least I know I tried to give you whatever insight that I had.
That's exactly how I feel. And I'm not trying to skip off of that subject, but I really think we got some great pointers across and I want to hold on to everything we just talked about.
Okay.
On, but there was something that I also want to bring up, and it was about etiquette.
Okay.
And the reason why I want to bring this up is because we were at a very, I'm not going to say it was fancy, but it was very upscale restaurant. And before
who? Your family?
No, it was just me and Antoine.
Okay.
Really nice upscale restaurant. But before we went to the restaurant, there was a boxing match that we were supposed to go to. And it was a guy who's a legend. You know, how Sugar Ray Leonard is a legend. Well, he was someone who fought, you know, with him and fought with Duran, and he was a legend. Okay. So most boxing matches that I've gone to, which are in Vegas, everyone is dressed in diamonds and pearls. Maybe not the people up in the rafters,
but down around the ring.
Around the ring.
All out. Yes.
All out. So we went to one and I was getting dressed and he said to me, he said, why are you dressing up? And I was just like, well, this is what you're supposed to do. At least when I've gone to boxing matches, you dress up and you look nice. You don't wear a hoodie and some jeans and some Tims. That's not what I'm used to, you know.
But so, things are changing all the time. But anyway, go ahead.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
They changed so much that the attire that most of the people had on, now the people who are used to going to boxing matches all probably looked like me, and like how he went back and changed and started to look like me. Not only did they go to the restaurant afterwards with the same ripped up jeans, t-shirt, guys,
the restaurant let them in.
I'm assuming the restaurant let them in because they were with, or it looked like they were coming in with the entourage of the celebrities. So I guess they didn't want to take them. I'm assuming because of COVID, money been short on certain people. They like, look, if they're gonna come in and spend, let them. I'm thinking this is why, because I said the same thing. I'm like, they ain't getting in with this on. It's no way in the world, because we got ushered right in. Like, you know, they actually got searched. And everything, Yes, the ones with the ripped up jeans, t-shirts. They had a security guy standing there. He had a, you know, a black suit on and looking really nice. And he was like, "I'm sorry, you all, you have to stand over here, have to search you." And I know that I saw some of the people looking at me like, "Well, why didn't search that couple or whatever?" And I wanted to be able to say to myself, because it looked like I ain't toting nothing. Right. It looked like I'm not coming in here to start no fight with nobody. And I wanted to say that, but it was a whole bunch of them. And I said to myself, when do we go back teaching our kids etiquette? Because no one taught them. You can look at the restaurant and see, you can look at the cars out front, you can look at the way it's set up, that you don't come in this place with t-shirt and jeans on. So I had to ask. And I, you know, the manager came over and I said, "Listen, I'm not complaining. It's a beautiful restaurant. It just, and I'm not complaining about the people who walked in. I just want to know, is that normal attire for this restaurant?" He said, "Absolutely not." He said, "It's a special event. They didn't rent out the restaurant, but we were told ahead of time that there were going to be celebrities here from this, you know, boxing or whatever. And, you know, it's probably going to be packed. Can you accommodate us?" And we were like, "Yes." He said, "But on a normal night, they wouldn't even been able to stand on the sidewalk." He said, "Because of the attire they had on, it brings too much drama." He said, "But because of tonight, I'm just doing it for tonight. And then this is it." I said, "I was asking because I want to come back here again on another night." He said, "Listen, I've turned away guys for less than what they have on. You know," he said, "I don't like it either." And he said, "Just what you said." He said, "Times are changing. I don't even know what to do. Don't even know if I should change with the time and just be like, come in if you're spending money, enjoy yourself, or just put it into it." I said, "No," not to him, to myself. I said, "No, don't change." Because that does breed what you see was happening on Sprint. I mean, not Sprint, but what is it, Sprint? What is the Spirit Airlines? Have you been seeing that on social media?
I can't stand Spirit Airlines. What's happening with them?
They are doing smackdown fights in the air. You know how that plane is in the air. You know, he tells us every time we're up there how many thousands of feet we're up there. Mm-hmm. These kids are on Spirit Airlines having brawls.
Spirit is the gutter of airlines. I would never take
it. You see the attire? I mean, if that's the attire, and I'm not just talking about attire meaning the wear. I'm talking about the whole thing. If you give off glam, I feel like people rise to the occasion.
A couple things. Number one, I think that because it was a boxing match, as opposed to an opera concert or something, a jazz concert or whatever, I think that they could get a pass, because you could be thinking, "I'm going to see boxing, I'm throwing my sweat and my hoodies," and they're not aware of the tradition. Because I'm aware of the tradition of those around ringside are usually blamed out with their furs, yeah. Warm, maybe having on a fur, all that sort of thing. So I think, you know, the restaurant was correct to give them a pass given the type of event that they came from. Number two, though, I think that everything is getting more casual. And it was actually some years back, the last time I took my kids to the Kennedy Center. I took them to the Kennedy Center. People had on khakis and flip-flops. And I was like, where's the Kennedy Center? Trying to see the Lion King play or whatever the heck we were there for. And they were so casual, it blew my mind. And I think, you know, that it goes too far. I think that we lose some of the fun and excitement, yes, meekness of events trying to turn everything into a jeans and t-shirt affair. You know, sometimes it's fun to just put on something and look and feel a certain way. It adds something to the experience.
I had this it was a conversation. Some of the people I talked to about this was like, "Well, not everyone has dress up clothes." Do you know how much that angered me?
You have it doesn't have to be Tom Ford.
Right.
It can be JCPenney. Just make it a blazer and some pants, please. Right.
If you bought the ripped up jeans and you bought the t-shirt, you couldn't have bought a collar shirt and some nice clothes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're not saying you have to come in decked to the nines, but you can buy a dress, like you're saying, the same thing same money you spent on that, whatever they're wearing, you could have bought a dress and a pair of sandals. We're not saying that you have to be designered up. We're saying that a dress versus a sweatsuit, a suit versus a sweatsuit. I mean, you spending the same money, just buy something different.
the same exact money. I just said that everybody should have that one outfit for the special occasion when you have to. Like, the conversation also went to church. They said, have you been to church lately? And I haven't. I'm guilty.
I haven't either. I'm not planning to go.
Church. They said, oh, if you come to church, you would thought you were going to a club. I'm like, what? They say you have girls that skirts that have no bent over room, showing cleavage. They say the guys come in like, you know, with the ripped up jeans and the t-shirts with, you know, whatever on it. I mean, they said it's no suit and tie, nice dress, none of that.
I'm not surprised, because towards the end, when I did stop going, some of the more, some of the younger pastors mm-hmm. were saying, come as you are, because they wanted to encourage the people to come versus not come because they didn't feel they could meet the dress code. And even First Baptist of Glen Arden.
Oh, yeah.
We used to go there at a point, and all summer they would have casual. And then when the fall comes back, you had to go back to wearing regular church clothes. So, I mean, I guess those kinds of things just lead down the path to casualness. But I maintain what I said before, that there's something special about getting dressed up and being all dolled up. And I just would hate to see that leave every area. Like, every time I go to dinner, I don't want to get dressed up. But depending on where I'm going,
right.
It's nice to just be special, to look special and feel special.
Proper attire, like just proper attire. We're right. not asking you to get all dolled up. It's just in your mind, I understand you want to be comfortable, but in your mind, like, I have sent my kids back in the house. When I'm like, where the heck you going? We're going so-and-so. No, you need to go do it again. I feel like that's my part of teaching my children proper attire. Like, they will ask, like, what are we wearing? Or how should we dress? And I'll say, you know, all black, or wear this, or where you could wear a dress, whatever. I want them to be comfortable, but do not underestimate me. When we're going to someplace that I feel is fancy and nice and elegant, you need to show up. I do not want anyone looking like, well,
they just rolled out of bed or something. Yeah,
no.
I have been known to do that too. And then sometimes I haven't done it and it backfires. Like, one time, it might even have been, well, I guess it had to be the summer before last, because last summer we weren't doing the doggone thing. But I was just out with the kids and we were downtown. And I was like, let's just go hit a restaurant. Let's just go eat. And there's this place, so Del Frisco has the cafe type thing like in Bethesda, but they also have a more upscale restaurant like downtown.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, my son likes steaks, my daughter and I like seafood. I was like, let's go there. And then I called to make a reservation, and I don't know how it came up, but they told me that they had a dress code. Oh, because my son had jeans on. He said, Mom, because we weren't planning to do that. So it's like, Mom, am I going to be able to wear this? And so I asked them, and they said, you can wear ripped jeans, but there can't be any rips above the knee.
Oh, okay.
And he had rips above the knee, and so we couldn't go. So I didn't have to teach them that. They learned that lesson. We went somewhere else, and it was beautiful, and we had fun. But they learned that lesson right there, because they learned everywhere doesn't allow everything. And I didn't even, I mean, you know, I didn't have to say anything. I wasn't upset with him because it wasn't on our agenda. It was a last minute, like, hey, let's just do something fun. But I think we all got the message that everything's not going to go everywhere. And you just have to be prepared. So
I'm living right now with my kids. I just want them to be prepared, because I know that there's double standards. I know they might even let some in and might not let some people in. I know that. But at the end of the day, I want to be able to just, you know, just make sure that my kids and me, we're up to par and we know exactly what's going on.
Let's take a short sponsor break. Now back to the current episode.
So
that brings up a point. That brings up a point. When we were in Gambia, I was looking at my social media and I saw that a Black woman had tried to go to a restaurant in Buckhead. And she had on, like, they call it a tracksuit. We call it like I don't know what we call it, but it's a sweatsuit, but not the kind you zip up, but it's a suit, you know, matching.
Yeah, I have a couple of those. I know that I have velour ones. Yeah, I know I have those.
So she had on something of that nature, and the restaurant told her that she couldn't come in. because they had a business casual dress code. And, you know, she's like us. She's like, oh, okay, I didn't meet the dress code. That's fine. No problem. But somehow then I guess at some point she looked in the window and saw that there were white, this was a black lady, of course. There were white people in there with denim jean booty shorts, t-shirts, back out, all that sort of thing. So then it just kind of went viral and it's a big thing. And I don't know the name of the restaurant because I was out of the country.
That's when I have a problem with it.
Me too. And then that's when I'm getting blackety black saying, why are we even going to their establishment?
No, give me the name so I know you get none of my money. I pay none of your bills.
I'll tell you, but I didn't pay attention to what restaurant, but then I was sitting there going, oh, damn. I'm going back to that BS in America, you know.
And that, another thing, how was your trip? Did you enjoy yourself?
I did enjoy myself. We had a snafu at the end. We were supposed to leave on Friday. They canceled our flight and we didn't leave till Saturday. So that ended up being a big fiasco. I'm actually going to do a video about it on my Raising the Vibe channel. They ended up putting us in a hotel, but we had to get another COVID test. I mean, it was just a friggin' nightmare. That was really a turnoff. But other than that, I enjoyed it. I mean, things do happen, but it really was annoying. And my son's internship started on Monday, so he missed the first day, but it's okay.
He understood.
We were all just annoyed as heck.
Right. They liked it.
I think they like it okay. I think that, and it was good for me to see it through their eyes. I think that they helped me to realize that maybe it's not as developed as it could be.
Okay.
There's something good about not having all this foolishness that we have in America, but at the same time, you might want a little more development. So okay. I was going to go back there in the fall, but I picked another country that I've been to before, and I'm going to go back there in the fall and see. But we'll go back there. I have a lot of friends there. I love the people. Even they were like, God, the people are so nice here. And that's something you don't get in America for the most part. Right. So I still will maintain friendships and connections. I still will travel there, but I don't know, I'm going to go some other places.
Yeah, frequent other places.
Yeah.
It's funny because I wanted to see how it was through your kids' eyes also, but of course my kids have a code and I guess their whole age group have a code of ethics that they don't let our parents see their Snapchat. So I saw them commenting on the kids' journey.
My kids were snapping? They didn't tell me.
But I was like, can I see it? And it was like, no. So.
Oh, okay. No, they didn't tell me, but I'm going to interview each of them.
I was like, can you make my kids show me what they were looking? They were like,
well, did they say they liked it? They didn't like it? What did they say?
They were showing that they loved it.
I think they appreciated being out of the country and being, there's something to be said for being in an all black place because you're never, like the thing I just said about Buckhead, you're never gonna experience that. You may have whatever issues you have, but it's never gonna be something because you're black. And that's just a freedom that we don't get here. Everybody's black. So they're never gonna do something to you because you're black. So I think that, you know, they were able to enjoy that. We did some boss chick stuff and I think they like rolling with me on that level. Okay. So, but I also think that, you know, there are other countries that they might enjoy better. And I wanna make sure that I'm frequenting a place where when I say, hey guys, come on over or let's go over, they're going to be like, okay, cool, as opposed to, not this time, I'll catch you next time. Even though, I mean, it's my life. You're welcome to stay here. I'm going to do what I want to do, but I just want it to be something that fits our family dynamic.
And I said to me and Victoria recently, I was like, we're going. They were like, well, Mia more so said no than Victoria, but Mia was like, I'm not going. I'm not going to Africa. I was like, why? Why?
She's not going to the entire continent?
No, she says she's not. I said, they're lying to you about whatever, because, you know, she probably was thinking like how I was thinking back in the day when, you know, I heard all the negative stuff And she's like, no, it's just that I just don't see the point. I don't think that. I said, no, they have beautiful islands and resorts.
It's better than Europe. It's better than the Caribbean.
I just need to show her mind that don't believe everything you said, because Mexico was the same way and we went there and it was beautiful.
They could go to Kenya, Tanzania, South. I wouldn't recommend South Africa. Well, I would. They could go to South Africa, Ghana. They're just all.
South Africa is just like being in the United States. Like
it is. That's why I was going to say I wouldn't recommend it.
We had enough of this place. We'd like to see something else for a change.
Yeah, but there's so many beautiful countries that, as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to go back to Tanzania next time. Oh. It's just so much to do there that I'm going to head back over there. But even for the Gambia, it's right by Senegal, which, as you saw from my pictures, is beautiful. It is right across the ocean a bit are the Cape Verde Islands, which I'm going to go visit with some girlfriends. I mean, I just am happy that at this stage, I'm able to do that. I will not take my kids every time they're in college, and I'm not trying to pay all that money every time, but I do once a year, every other year, something like that. I want to make sure they're coming over, seeing the various countries and knowing that, hey, this belongs to us. You can go anywhere here you want to go and you are not stuck in the U.S. If they get too damn crazy in the U.S., you've got somewhere to go, and I'm going to make sure.
And I was looking at that on, I believe, I told you, you've got me totally on board with this. So I was looking at this thing on YouTube, and I wish I could remember the president, but my brain has been flipping lately. But well, he wasn't the president. I think he was a minister. He wasn't the prime minister, but he was a minister. And he apologized to the Black race for what happened over 400 years ago with slavery. He apologized and he said he was sorry for the whole entire continent of Africa, because he said he knows what
was. Macron from France?
Was he from France?
Yeah, was the person you're talking about a white guy from France?
No, he was a Black man. He was a Black African.
Apologizing for slavery?
Yeah, he was a Black, I'll send it, I don't know why I didn't send it to you, but he was a Black African chief, but he was prominent. He was very prominent and he was speaking to, oh my God, he had everybody in tears. He had me in tears. I was home on my computer watching, but everybody there who was there, who went there for the pilgrimage, they were in tears.
In Ghana, was it a lot of celebrities and stuff like that?
Beyond a lot of celebrities.
Return for Ghana.
And he said to them, if you want to come home, mm-hmm. we have a plan for you. And girl, when he said that, I lost it. Like, I had chills and goosebumps and everything. I was like, oh my God.
It was Ghana.
That felt like he woke up a spirit inside of, I think, everybody. It had to, because it woke it up. And like you just said, if you don't like it here and you want to go somewhere else, we do have another home. You know, it might have been told that wasn't our home, but it's our home. He told us it was our home.
And it's beautiful. And they are fronting, like in the Gambia, on one side of every street is a beach, because they're surrounded by the Gambian River and then by the ocean. So everywhere you are, there is a gorgeous, beautiful beach across the street. You may be behind that building or whatever, but there's a beach everywhere. We actually were gonna go to Ghana instead of going to the Gambia on this particular trip. And the reason, and I have a couple of law school classmates who are from Ghana, and I was talking to them about that. But the reason I didn't do it, you know me, you gotta have a yellow fever vaccination. Yeah. I didn't want us to get any vaccinations. So I just
had that because of the military. Yeah, I think I already have that. Yeah.
I have the typhoid because of when I went to Zambia before in Southern Africa, but I don't have yellow fever. I didn't want to make them get yellow fever. And that's why one of the reasons I'm picking Tanzania for the fall is because they don't have that requirement. I just don't feel like getting any shots right now.
And after, you know, I've heard that so many people have caught diseases coming from other countries. I'm not afraid of vaccines. So give me whatever can help prevent me so I can go and come as I please. So I definitely will be getting that if I need a booster or something, but I do believe we had it because we were on a military base at one time. And I don't know how long it lasted.
It lasts 10 years. So it's been more than 10 years. And I don't have a problem with anybody that wants to get it. I just personally don't want to, which brings me to, I saw on either somebody's TikTok or Instagram that Victoria, Victoria and Mia got the shot.
They both got it. And Victoria had a little bit of drama with it. Like, she swore she didn't feel well afterwards, which was something that everybody didn't. But Mia took it like a champ. Like, she, maybe her arm was a little tender for a few hours the next day. But other than that, that girl didn't have one dramatic episode at all. She was gone and kept going. And I'm just looking at her like, how? I was debilitated.
Victoria was a little... that one or the one or the Johnson & Johnson?
They both got the Moderna.
Okay. That's the one you got, right?
Yeah, I got two shots. So they have to go back in 2 weeks to get the second one.
Okay.
Yeah. And their father only has one and he hasn't gone back and he's overdue. He was supposed to go back and get his... I'm not even stressing over that anymore. I'm like, whatever. You do whatever you want. But
you know, I was... the sorority sister who did that. She's a physician. Mm-hmm. And she said that one shot gets you 65%.
That's what he heard.
Effectiveness, and two shots gets you 95. And she said that everybody gets sick after the second shot and she doesn't want to get sick. So she's going to take her 65% and be done. And she's like,
somebody too, because he kind of said exactly what you just said. He was like, well, I'm halfway, you know. I'm like, but things that you want to do, like he wants to go to Buffalo Bills games. They said, unless you prove to us you had two shots, you can't come in our stadium. You can't even come in the parking lot. So
I don't even care. I don't want to go anywhere that requires me to have those shots. So if you're requiring those shots, count me out. Even Africa. If it comes a day where they say you can't get on this plane, you can't come in this country, then bye. I won't be coming. I'm not getting those shots.
See, now me, I, of course, you know, once they got the shots, you hear, oh my God, everybody got an opinion on it.
Man, they in Puerto Rico and... Yeah. Oh, the girl, they just swear they're safe now. Everybody's going everywhere.
My protection is. I feel like I'm, and not even just I'm safe. Because it's known to not give corona to anyone. That's my part. Like, I don't want a healthcare worker having to take care of me if I'm so sick from corona and she goes home and makes her family sick. At least I know that part in my mind. Because I used to hate that. When I used to see that all those healthcare workers were starting to die and get sick, I was like, if I was them, I'd be like, I ain't taking care of you. You had the opportunity to get the shot and then you ain't get it. So get out of here. And I said to myself, I'm
going to prevent you from getting COVID. So you can still get COVID and those healthcare workers will still have to take care of you.
Well, you won't get as sick. That's what my doctor, their doctor told you. Might get it, but you won't be as sick. You probably might feel like a little flu-like. But what happened the first go around with people needing, you know, oxygen and being on.
But you have seen people in the hospital who need ventilators who have the shots.
I didn't know that. All my doctors told me that doesn't happen under if you get the
two. I've seen that in the, I mean, you don't watch the news, but I've seen that on social media. And I mean, I just keep this position I've always had. Mm-hmm. I think that for people who feel the shot is beneficial and that's what they want to do, I'm on board. Do what you think is best for you, but right. For me, I don't want that. And then I don't think that people who get the shot need to be freaking out because you got your protection. The only person that's not protected supposedly is me, so you're good,
right?
And I'm good. You know what I mean?
I went to the store the other day and no one had on their mask and I didn't get the memo. Of all the things I stay up on, I did not get the memo that there's no more mask in Maryland if you don't want to wear it. So I'm looking around the store and I got my mask on and everyone's looking at me like, why are you looking at me? And I'm like, no. I wasn't staring. I was just saying, did I not get the memo? They was like, yeah, you didn't get it. We don't have to. I was like, oh, well, shoot. I've been hating this thing anyway. I'm taking mine off. They was like, yeah, there's no more mask mandates in Maryland at all. You can wear
it. Unless your county chooses. And Prince George's chooses to keep the mask claiming.
Oh, they are?
A very hot spot. But Anne Arundel, all that. Virginia is supposed to be coming off in June, I think. North Carolina's already off. Florida's off. People see all of that anyway. People just
North Carolina and Florida been off. Like I told you, when we went to Florida, I thought I was in another country. Nobody club dancing and everything. Nobody had on a mask. So
no masks in the Gambia. We didn't think about it. No, we didn't even cross our mind. I didn't do it last time either. No, you know.
That's awesome. See, I mean, I'm with it. You know, I'm totally with, you know, whatever is, as long as I know, like I said, I get the flu shot and I don't get the flu. And like I said, the 1 year I did not get the flu shot, I got the flu and I thought I was going to die. So I made myself a promise after that I was going to get the flu shot. So I'm more so just on board with, I mean, now I am against the measles, mumps, and rubella for a newborn baby. Now, that is a vaccine.
Autism risk or something different?
Yeah, because I still believe that causes autism. And I hear it now that it's leaked out that not only the person who actually developed it said they had been telling the CDC for years that, look, it, in Black kids, it is causing autism. Like, I just sent my niece, my nephew has autism, and I just sent her the information because I told her, I've been saying it, but they ain't want to listen to me. But
your nephew got the MMR shot?
Oh, yeah. And I remember, like, I don't care what they say. They get upset with me, but I remember going to see him when he was first born before he had his shot and coming in again the next day, and I looked at a baby that I didn't even recognize. I was like,
Especially for Black males, the incidence is so high. There are a number of reasons why I'm not into vaccines. Part of them is the mercury. It's just a lot of things that are in them that I don't want to voluntarily inject into my body. But again, I understand why people do it, and I'm okay with it. I'm really into, let's just all make our individual choices and do whatever we think is.
I talked to Lisa Bonet's daughter. I mean, she has never been vaccinated.
And she's just fine.
Right, and she's beyond fine. And of course, she's world travel. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know I guess there's gotta be laws set up that help her get into countries that require that, but because of their religion, and I think their Rastas maybe, I forgot what Lisa Bonet was saying, whatever religion they qualify under, she's never, so I think it's almost like taxes. If you never paid, you ain't gotta pay. But if you never got a vaccine, you don't have to get one. But she's never been immunized from the day she was born, ever.
I wish I hadn't done it.
If it had started out the world like that, if they had started in the world where I knew my rights, I didn't know, you know, when they say, oh, we're going to take your baby to go get their shot, I wouldn't have done it either.
I hadn't done it. And I know that my daughter got sick from it because she ended up being in Children's for a week with a really high fever. And I recall them telling me that I was in the hospital for a week. I think there's something that doesn't sit well with us.
After you took her home and brought her back for shots or during the process?
She got shots. She came home that evening and began to have a very high fever. And then we were unable to break the fever. And then ultimately she ended up in Children's Hospital for a week. And back then I was working from home. So I just stayed at the hospital for the whole week. And I just would not do it again if I had it all to do over. I don't buy into it. And I think that if you look at the number, I don't know how we got on this, but if you look at the number of vaccines that were required, say in 1970, versus the 30 or so that are required, they just keep on and on and on, and it's just too much. And I don't think.
Explanation. That's the part I think, because like I said, a lot of the comments on TikTok were people saying, oh, me and Victoria are going to be dead the next day. And
oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Why would I say that about somebody's children?
Girl, it is these people in this world.
Out of control.
Are they?
You thought that. You should not say that to a mother about her children.
Oh, they say worse about me. So if it can get any worse, it can get any worse. I mean, it is bad. And then they said that now I and my children have put the mark of the beast inside of us, so we're no longer God's children.
I've heard some people say that.
And
that
it's just
separating yourself from God by taking that shot. I have heard that.
Amazing to me that whoever starts this, just in a common sense mind, I guess maybe my sense is too common, but I just can't imagine how you let that words into your brain and let it stay there and then you repeat it. Like, I would never be able to, under no circumstance, I wouldn't be able to let something like that enter me. If there's a God in this world, that one that I believe in, and if there's a higher power that created all of this and it belongs to you and you belong to it, that's not how you detach yourself from it. If everything you were taught, you know what I'm saying? Everything that he died on the cross for your sins, or his son died for your sin and mine, that's not going, either gay, you're straight, you're on drugs, you was a bank robber, that does not detach you from your father. Because I look at everything like as in how we love our children. Our kids could go out here and commit a crime, and of course we're gonna be mad, and of course they deserve to be punished, but they still ours, and we still gonna ride with them. And that's how I feel like the creator thinks of me. So if I got an immunization and a vaccine that's going to detach me, then clearly there couldn't have been a creator that created all of this, because that can't be it.
I don't know about that part. I mean, you know, I don't have an opinion. I have heard that, but I don't have an opinion. I haven't done any research, or I don't know about that. But I did ask someone recently, what if that's the mark of the beast? Because the Bible says that there's going to be something that everybody's getting. You won't be able to buy food, to work, to do anything without that. And that appears to be where they're going with that. And then the person is religious, and they said to me, no, when it's the mark of the beast, it's going to clearly be of Satan, and you're going to know that up front. I don't have a comment on that either, but it did occur to me, because, you know, we seem to be going in that direction with the vaccines, but I don't know.
And we did the magnet thing, they did it for the amusement of TikTok or whatever, but they said that your arm would be magnetized in a magnet. That didn't happen. None of these
things. Heard that yeah. You would be able to stick a magnet. Some of that's just really foolishness, you know.
And there's so many people, please do the magnet test, please. And so Mia was like, we did it, it don't work. So I was like, okay, well, they did it, they dispelled it, it doesn't work. So
okay, so mark of the beast, catching from God, magnet test, is that it that they're saying?
And they would have been dead by now, but they said they were going to die in 2 days, and it's already been,
somebody else died in 2 days.
I'm 2 months, I got my April 17th, so of course I'm not even here anymore at this point, because I mean, I got my April 17th. So right. I'm just trying to encourage people. Like, I get it. It's so much drama out there, and it's so much misinformation out there. And this is all part of our just throwing everything out there, as much parenting things we can in this hour. But trust me, I'm not on board with everything. And I understand people who are skeptical about it. I just believe of the layer of protection. If this virus comes back with a vengeance, if it does, that's all I'm saying. And if this thing helps, so be it. I tried it. If it doesn't help, you can't say I didn't do my part, you know?
Right. I mean, I just take my chances, but right. I feel you on that. Right.
And some people might be healthy enough without it. I don't know if I am. I know both of my kids suffer from asthma. I know I have an ongoing heart condition. I don't know. There was never anything told to me like, hey, you're 100% healthy. You could knock this virus out if you get it. I didn't get it before I got the shot. Before I got the vaccine, I never had COVID. I got tested a whole bunch of times.
You don't think I had it either. I was saying to you, I had something, my girlfriend said. I don't think so, because when I hear people talk about what it felt like, that mm-hmm. I just think I had a really bad virus or cold or something, mm-hmm. and it lasted a while, but I didn't have any sense of smell issues. I didn't have any breathing issues. I just was sick, and I had some chills, and I was sick, and I was tired, like a bad flu or something. And that may be what I had.
Let's take a short sponsor break. Now back to the current episode.
And see, with both of my kids having symptoms and both of them having COVID, I think I would have known, even if I didn't come up positive. I never lost taste. I never lost. I mean, I'm always tired,
did
but
they lose taste?
Oh, heck yeah. They couldn't.
I never lost taste.
They couldn't smell anything or taste anything, especially Mia. Mia really couldn't. Like, and she eats. And it was like, I'm like, what's wrong with you? She's like, I just can't taste anything. I can't smell anything. So I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I had that. I had claimed that a little bit, but the more I hear from people who actually had it, I think I didn't have it. And I'm intending to never get it.
Me too.
But,
I don't think I will either. I don't have no intentions on
getting it. I just got the shot. So you should be okay.
I think so. I think the shot put me overkill to not be able to get it. But like I said, you know, if you listen to some of the comments and you listen to some of the rhetoric out there, it's going to scare people to death. Because I'm not knocking nothing these people have said. I hear the fear in their voice. Like, you need to look into Tuskegee. I'm like, listen. And I had to break it down to so many people. I said, I get it. I get Jim Jones had them drinking the juice. And I get that they injected syphilis and gave the Indians smallpox. I get what the government has done. But when I tell you rich white folks, middle class white folks, all kind of white folks are getting this on top of every other country and everybody else is getting this, that's not the type of conspiracy you can put this with. Now, if only Black people had to get this or only Spanish people, absolutely, I'd be the first person saying me and my kids ain't getting it. If only Black people got to get it, something only white, I would not. Even if they said only Caucasian people could get this to protect them. Even if they said, listen, Black people, y'all got something inside of y'all body to protect y'all from this. Only Caucasian people need to get this. I would have found me a Caucasian way to get this damn vaccine. Trust me. But because I know everybody is getting it, I don't feel like the conspiracy is to this thing.
You know, the people who are promoting the vaccine, such as Bill Gates, want a population reduction. And mm-hmm. they have written about that on the Georgia Guidestones. It's in stone. Mm-hmm. And that includes white and Black people. They're not seeking to reduce the population of, they're seeking to reduce the population across the board. So if that were the goal, they would not be singling out only Blacks or only Americans or only Indians. So I don't think that, I mean, you know, to me, the way you see the fear keeping people from the vaccine, I see the fear sending them to it. Mm-hmm. I see the lockdown for over a year. I see the constant television news reports about the numbers rising and all that. I think those are the fears that drove people to get it. And so now people who have the vaccine are in Puerto Rico and Mexico and all that because they're thinking that they're safe. And they were on Facebook saying, come on, y'all, get the vaccine so we can come outside again. But that's all fear. And that is, now I've done this thing and it helps manage my fear. And that's why I did it. So, I mean, I guess it just depends on what side of the...
That would make it even, not what you're saying, but I hear what you're saying, but not what you're saying, meaning... That goes deeper into it because you had Donald Trump who was against all of it. And he secretly got the vaccine, him and his wife and children. They secretly got it. And once people got hold of that.
That Tora.
Well, his daughter came out and said it at this point. She was like, you know, just to kill all the conspiracy. She was like, yeah, we got it. But it wasn't like, I didn't say I wasn't going to get it. I just needed to find out more about it. And then she was like, you know, and my father and, you know, Melania and all of them did get it too. But when he secretly got it, and that's why they had to let it out, is because the person who gave him the vaccine was like, nah, you came in here sneaking up in here getting this vaccine after telling everybody you ain't want it. And I feel like that was another thing. Like, he even knows that it's something out there that he wanted to protect himself and his family from, because he secretly got it. Why didn't you just openly do it as like Biden and Kamala Harris did? They openly sat there, showed the world they were getting it, and to help promote it. But he secretly went and did it just to protect.
I believe everything that people say on the television, but I mean, it's okay with me. The thing that I will say is I just think that people were mostly driven by fear. And I think that if the media hadn't whipped up a frenzy of fear, most of the people we see getting the shot wouldn't get it. And if people hadn't, see, I didn't stay in the house for a year.
I think it was fear on a lot of people parts.
And I didn't stay in the house for a year and a half, but some people mostly stayed in the house. And I think that that lockdown was effective in making people get it too.
So, I never cared. I don't even know if that's the word. It's a word, but whatever the word is, I didn't follow the protocol to lock down and protect myself from COVID. I didn't. I didn't always wear my mask. I didn't stay in the house. I went on vacation. I did everything. COVID never, ever affected my lifestyle at all. It did from other people's lifestyle.
It affected my lifestyle because I used to go out dancing all the time.
Oh, yeah. Other people.
And those things were closed. But anything.
Other people, but you would have went if they were there, right?
Other
people made it affect. But I personally, it didn't stop myself. I went to the grocery stores. I went to the malls. I went to clubs. If they were open, I traveled on planes. Did not become a hermit in my house. Because my personal DNA can't do that. My brain can't
everywhere. I went to African after-hour spots in Maryland because they were still open, but the clubs that I typically would have gone to just to dance it up were closed. They're open again now, but now I got so much daggone work. I gotta get myself to a spot where I can.
Well, why even do that work, please, so we can get going.
I'm working on it. But you know, I think it's interesting, and I think that. Hopefully enough people, I mean, I don't want the thing, but I hope that enough people have gotten it where they can just leave us alone.
You always say you reserve the right
I do, but I can't see it for that. I mean, so because, you know, like I did some extensive research on what's in the shot, what is it, what's it about. And based on the research, like the one you took, the Moderna calls this shot the software of life. I don't need any software. God gave me software.
And it is software in there when it does say it's a synthetic and it manipulates the to be able to protect. Like I was reading into it too.
And an operating system and all. Yeah. I don't need any of that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine I would change my mind, but I do always reserve the right. But I, you know.
And then that's where I go back to my
higher power. Never say never. You never say never.
Right. I go back to my higher power. If that is true, I put all things in the hands of the creator. If someone has put something inside of my body that should not be in there, I believe the dude that I mess with, that dude who gives me the insight on all my life, even to this very moment, and walk me down every dark alley and there for me to shine the light. Feel like you can put it all, put a couple things inside of me. I don't care, because he's gonna take it out anyway. That's how my life.
Are they happy they did it? Are they happy and are they doing more things? Or I imagine they
would. No, because they did. When Mia had a sinus infection the other day, she swore for God it was the coronavirus. I'm not getting the second shot. And you can't make me. I was like, okay. I just said okay. And then she came back.
Did you strongly persuade them, or how did it come about? Because
I literally just said, hey, I signed y'all up to get the vaccine on Wednesday. I'm taking y'all Wednesday to get it. And when we went there, you know, if they had said to me at any point in time, like, mom, listen, you know, whatever, I'm scared, I don't want to do this, I would have waited all of that time. But I personally didn't want them to wait any longer. Because like I said, I don't know what's down the road. I don't know what they're going to start really putting into this stuff once it gets cheaper and everybody making it. I feel like the good stuff is now. I mean, that's just my conspiracy.
You say that. You said that from the beginning, that you want to get the first batch. Where
yeah, I just feel like that. You know, I feel like this is the good stuff, the stuff they're giving to the other folks. And so I wanted them to get it. And they just went along. But like I said, if we were in the office and they had free range, once we were in that doctor's office, they was like, nah, I changed. Because I videotaped them. Like, are you glad y'all came?
They seemed so happy afterwards. I was surprised. They were like, I did my part. Yeah. I did my part. So, I mean, you know.
I feel like they did do their part. And I'm very proud of them for recognizing that, you know, it is a part that they have to do to save their life, other lives, because I do not want to bring my child into the emergency room sick as a dog with COVID and then infecting someone else and someone else. I want to be able to say, well, they had their shot, so now you need to treat my child. And if nobody can say anything to me, because then that gives me permission to zap out, because we did our part.
My ex-husband got the shot. And obviously I didn't. And so we had a conversation because he picked us up from the airport and he was feeling like I don't even know. I made it clear. I don't want the shot. And I told my children, I don't want them to get it. And I told them why. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, but I feel like you're not giving me an opportunity. I'm like, they're your kids. Tell them whatever you want to tell them. Yeah. And they'll make the decision they want to make. But I feel like you're turning them against my position. No, I'm not. I'm telling them my position. That's my job as a mother. Yeah. If I find information and I think there's something detrimental, it's my job to share that with my children. And if you have a different point of view, you are welcome to tell your children whatever it is you would like to tell them. But don't sit around waiting for me to give them your perspective. I always tell my children what I think.
Absolutely.
Why? And then you do what you want. But he's gotten it. And I'm like, hey, dude, you're all safe.
He told me last week he's not getting a second shot. So I'm not
going to. Where's he going to go to? I thought the whole reason he did that was to go to the stadium to see the Buffalo Bills.
He won't be getting into the Bills game this year.
What changed his mind? What made him change his mind?
The same thing, like he's hearing more people with the rhetoric of, you know, it's synthetic, is the FDA didn't approve it, he's scared. And I think it scared him. You know, I think the more he hears the people talk negative about it, I can't let people get into me. What I already think in my mind and feel in my soul is what I ride with. If I thought and I felt something etchy about this thing, oh, I wouldn't have done it at all. Just like I told you about the Noraplant when I got it. I knew instantly, instantly. I even said while I was getting it, like, why am I doing this? So it didn't stay in that long because I did have all the effects and I did get it out. That was something I knew better. You know, I didn't feel like that way of this thing. And even with all the other birth controls that came after, you know, the one that they inserted the T thing, I had friends that got it and I just kept thinking to myself, ain't no way in the world I put that up in me. I just knew, of course, now, you know, they banned that from the market.
Yes, yeah, some of them got wedged into people's, whole bunch of stuff.
Right. In my brain, my common sense works like, nah. In my brain with this, it didn't work like that. I felt nothing sketchy or etchy about it. I felt like it was only something that can help. And if I'm wrong, so help me, I'll be the first to admit it. But at the end of the day, I feel like this is just something, a layer of like the flu, like I said, the flu shot and all the other, if I had to go out of the country, remember the shot you just said, I forgot the name.
The yellow fever.
Yellow fever. If I have to get that, then I got to get it, you know? Yeah,
different countries have different requirements. Like I said, I had typhoid for Zambia, but yellow fever is for a lot of the West African countries. Will require that. But when you decide what country you want to go to and you go on the embassy website, it will tell you
now I know.
You have to get.
Okay, now I know. I'll just go on the embassy website and look at all the vaccines I need, because I would have never known that. I was stressing myself. I'm like, how do I know? Where do I get these shots? But
Oh, yeah. You just do that. And there's this thing, like last time when we went, we got the vaccines there and they know which ones, but the safest way is just to look on the country's embassy site and they'll tell you what you have.
Go to your regular doctor for these?
You can go to your regular doctor. There's that
other company
that does it specifically for travel. But I believe you can just go to your doctor. You just have to make sure they have the particular vaccine that you want.
You probably have to order it, if not, huh?
Yeah, because there is a place we went to and they were designed to give shots for people who travel.
It'll be something I have to look into, and because I always want to prepare myself for, because I'm going to be world travel too. I need some more stamps on my passport.
Yeah, I definitely am going to keep it going. So, you know, it's all good. I'm happy. Life is good.
Yes,
I'm glad to be back. I'm glad I left. And, you know, they start pissing me off, I'll go earlier. But, you know.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes America a little bit gets under my skin. It really doesn't affect my life so much on a day-to-day basis, because we live in a, as we discussed before, we live in a certain cosmopolitan, diverse area.
Absolutely.
But some of the things, I don't watch the news, but some of the things I see on social media, it starts stacking up and it just starts.
I don't watch it anymore. I took a break.
Not even on social media?
Only on social media is I'm getting any news. I'm not watching CNN. I've been watching like Turner Classic Movies, and I've been watching all the oldie but goodie stuff. And I've even watched like Family Feud and game shows. I needed to take a break from it because I started seeing repeat stuff. Like, oh, I already heard that. Okay, we already know that. Okay, I already seen that. Okay, we know. And then it just seems like they keep fishing and digging, like, God forgive me, I rest his soul, but the George Floyd memorial, because it'd been a year.
It's just been a year, yeah, and they're going on and on about
that. Blow that wave. How can it be a year already? You know what I mean? How can it be a year?
Yeah.
That means we were stuck in the same place at the same time for a whole year, and it never felt like that. That's when your brain has to wake up and say, something ain't right. Get out of here. It should not feel like that happened yesterday or the day before to me. Like,
I was surprised when they said it was the 1 year anniversary of his death. I was like, really? Already? But we should have known that, because look how long a criminal trial takes. And they already had a whole criminal trial and a verdict. That doesn't happen overnight. Somehow we just,
got stuck. And I don't like being complacent like that and stuck. I don't like it. I don't like that. To me, makes me feel like somebody got control over my life.
And it's the programming too that just keeps you in a loop.
Yeah. And now I'm off the merry-go-round. I'm getting off. You can go on, stay on it, and I'll be back and see you later on. But right now I can't, because that was the thing that put me over. And I was like, that was the day. I had gradually started getting away, but that was the day I was like, okay, no more. I'm done.
And see, on social media, you have a lot more control because you just scroll by. I don't want to see that, and you just keep it moving.
Oh, I scroll by and block to let you know I don't even want to see it again. So, because you know they got the new tarot card things on. Everybody's doing tarot cards. Like, don't want to see it. Block.
Tarot cards? Like, yeah, showing your fortune or whatever.
Oh, they've got everything there. Everybody's doing it. And I'm like, you all, I did not come on social media to see. And I mean, everybody's on there live doing it. That's just, I'm not against anybody wanting to do it. I just don't want to see it.
See, the type of people, and that's what I realize about social media, the type where your head is determines what you see. I follow a lot of people who are conscious, who are African centered, who are, you know, so the things that I
see on your timeline,
that's what I see on all my timelines, because that's who I follow, that's who follows me. If you're into something else, if you're into what's that, world star hip hop or whatever that crap with the fighting and all, you're going to see all of that. So to some degree, what, how you are determines what you see on social media. I have not seen one person do a tarot, and I'm into African spirituality, but I'm not into whatever that is.
Right.
I've seen one person do a tarot, anything.
That upsets me because I don't even know why that, I mean, I don't know if it's because I like crystals and my phone heard me say I like crystals. So I don't know if they think that all ties into it, but literally if it's not some junk like that, then it's some man telling me I need to leave Antoine and and saying how he's like, you need to leave your husband if you ain't being treated right. And I mean, I got it all on. I'm like, and I sent him to him too. And he's like, you send me one more man telling me I'm like, what is all
this random men are on there? Or this like the Derek Jackson type person?
It's like all Derek Jackson type men and Samuel and the guy Samuel, Kevin Sam.
Oh, God, he's coming up on my, I'm going to block him. He's coming up on my YouTube page. Like, man, get away from here. I don't want to hear.
He was popping up every day.
He's in the Candace Owen category for me. I don't want to hear.
They blocked her from me. They blocked Candace Owen. I don't know if they're, the company did it or she got kicked off, but I can't get her anymore.
Or where?
I can get on Instagram and on TikTok anymore. But people post.
They blocked her. I sent you that thing showing they blocked her on.
Yeah, definitely. They right after that is when I couldn't see in her on anything, like no pop-ups of her.
I didn't have her on anything else. It was just that TikTok. And then I thought it was good for her that she got blocked because she's out of her damn mind. But so is Kevin Samuels. I think he doesn't like Black women. That's what I really think.
You think it's just Black women? I mean, he's
maybe. I mean, I don't care what he likes anybody else, but he doesn't seem to like us. The things that he says.
I think he just doesn't like light. Like the things that come out of his mouth.
You said he does it to men too.
Yes, that's what they say to myself sometimes. I try to picture him on other shows because he is on other shows, like people inviting him now on their shows. Oh yeah.
Let me know because I won't be watching that either.
Oh, he's a hot topic because of just the way he is just so open with his comments. But like, I get a lot of guys like that.
On your page? Follow him?
I did, but I stopped. Because it was popping up all the, once he, it wasn't even just him, it was his followers, his fans, they were posting. And once you follow somebody.
Once you follow him, they're gonna send you like that.
I was just getting it too much. So I was like, okay. And now I don't get it as much.
What I think it is remember the Simon Cowell effect on American Idol where he would be all, you know, rude. I think for some reason, American society likes that kind of rude.
Oh, he opened that door.
I don't like that. I like kindness. And I think that even you can even say, man, you can't sing in a better way than that. So I don't like that kind of stuff. So it just doesn't.
I don't like it. And you're saying exactly how I felt because I saw some girl coming after him just the other day. They had a clipping of it and she was so rude and disrespectful. And I remember Paula saying, you just blew your opportunity to go to Hollywood. You blew your opportunity to make it in this business. She said, and I'm saying this because I'm in this business and I've been here for 50 years. She said, let me tell you something. Everyone saw you and no one can bet their money on you. You take that attitude and go into a business like this, they're going to lose money betting on you. She said, and so the girl said, well, y'all let Simon, she said, this is his show.
That's his shtick.
Yeah, that's his thing.
That's his shtick.
You coming at him you would have been more better off coming at him so sweet and so kind. You would have had everybody calling you up, calling us up saying, who is she? She handled that so well because that's what he's put here.
He went in on her and then she went in on him.
He told her that she could sing, but she didn't have the whole package. Like she didn't look like a superstar. He said, but that, you know, once he said that to her, I think it hit a nerve because she just went bananas.
But isn't that what the show is for? To make you look like a superstar? So
you're still in the earlier rounds where they had made her look like the superstar. She had the voice for it. The girl was bad. She could sing, but she ruined it. And it was one of those things, what is she doing now? And I think she's working at like a Chick-fil-A. So she ruined her opportunity with that, and that's what I've been teaching my girls lately. I'm like, your reaction is what pays. You know what I mean? No matter what someone does to you in the public eye, like, you know, everybody whipping their cameras out now.
Right.
You know, so if you go into some place and somebody's treating you like crap, and somebody's recording, and just always remember, I want to look like a princess. Even though you're thinking, no, I have to stand up for myself. I get it. But let the world make them look dumb first. And then you can act like that. You know what I'm saying? We can do that with lawyers. We can do that with, you know, maybe the law enforcement, but do not sit there and zap out and act dumb and match their ignorance. Because when the world looks at it, once y'all both on the same even playing field, nobody wins. At least you win. You come out the winner. That's how I've always been. And I feel like I've won for that. You know, I've had people come at me and my kids will get home and lay me out. Like, you cuss out the people who don't deserve to be cussed out. And then the people who act like that, you say nothing. I said, but mom, now the world is looking at her like she dumb. I said, you know how many people walk up to us after we're done with something and be like, I'm so happy you handled that like that. She was really wrong. I said, that's all I wanted. Yeah.
I'm a little bit in the middle of the road. I don't think that you should let anybody bring you out of your character. So right. I don't want you being a fool because somebody else is a fool. Right. But I have always taught my kids, if they hit you, hit them back. And that's the equivalent of that. Like, we're never going to stand around and let you just abuse us verbally. We're never going to do that. At the same time, we're not going to come down to your level, but we are going to put you in your place and go ahead and walk away. We're not going to stand there. I mean, now, literally, if you put your hands on us, we're going to have to hit you back.
Off the table.
We will physical violence. Gotta say and walk away, because what we don't want to do is stand there and be a fool, because you're a fool. You know, so I'm a little...
I'm with you with physical violence. We gonna meet you toe to toe. That's off the, you gonna catch that on camera. But when I see, like the other day I saw this guy, white guy, at a hotel, and I looked it up to make sure I never stay there. It was Chicago, I believe, and it was a water park. And he kicked this black woman and her children out in the middle of the night because the toilet overflowed, malfunctioned, and she didn't do it. She just heard the toilet kept flushing. She went in there and it started and it started going everywhere. So she went down to him and he said, what do you want me to do? So get out, pack your things and get out. And she was like, you're kicking us out of the hotel for your toilet overflowing and you don't want to help me? I mean, so that was my case of this woman. She was so composed, she handled it. Literally, I did a little bit of investigation because I read the comments and everyone was like, we went on Yelp, that you can't even leave a bad review anymore. So I did it. I had a Yelp account. I went on, I tried to, you know, leave a bad review because you can leave a review even if you haven't stayed there. And I couldn't leave a review. So I called the hotel and I was like, is this the one that's trending on TikTok? And they said, do not call back here again. I was like, no. I just want to let you know you're trending millions and millions on TikTok right now. It's looking bad for your company. It might not be effective immediately, but you're going to lose a lot of money because I know I'll never stay there. And I'm definitely telling my friends and family, we are not ever staying there. And they hung up on me. But I wanted to do my part because she had little children. Middle of the night, he kicked her out the hotel.
That's the stuff about America that is getting on my nerves, because they wouldn't do that to a white person. And they always assume that anything that happens is our fault, even when it's not. I think in that kind of situation, I would have left too. I mean, I can't stay in your hotel if you're kicking me out. I probably would have told you. I would have said a little something, but I would have left too. I mean, what are your options at that point?
And she didn't want to leave. She just wanted to be accommodated, like get another room. He said, right. No, get out. Get your things and get out. And she said, are you the owner of the hotel? He's like, yeah.
Which you know he wasn't, but.
Right. And they said it was family owned. So basically he probably was a cousin who they gave a job there. And he feeling like he was on his little phone, ignoring her, treating her. And I said, that is why I'm blessed that there's a social media and people whipping out the cameras, because I do not want to give you ever a dollar of my money. I don't.
Well, what I want more than that is for them to stop. I want them to stop treating us like that. I want them to stop behaving like that. I don't want to have to be concerned that I will go to an Airbnb or a hotel or an Uber. I mean, it can happen, or a restaurant, and somebody's going to treat me in a manner of that nature solely because I'm a Black woman. And there's this whole mindset that Black people are, I don't know what they think we are. We're just some kind of perpetrators of something that we're not, and that we're some group of people that are here to be abused verbally and socially.
I don't think they're gonna stop, though. I don't think it's ever going to stop. I think it's a wheel that's only getting bigger and bigger. I don't think it's going to stop. I've already braced myself for that. I don't think it's going
to
stop.
So what I would like to see Black, and then we're going to have to wrap up, but what I would like to see Black people do, because I don't think that it's realistic for us to, I think you're right, is not going to stop voluntarily.
No.
And I don't think that it's appropriate for us to just accept that and know that certain percent of the time when we go somewhere, this is something that we're likely to be subjected to. I think that really what we have to do is to start our own establishments again. That's how it was in segregation. We had houses, bed and breakfast places that we went to. We didn't go to the regular hotels. We had specific restaurants. We had that green book, if you recall.
Oh yeah, the green book.
You don't recall, neither do I, but we've heard about it. It wasn't in our life.
I watched a movie, and not only did I watch the movie, but before that, my grandparents actually had the green book in the
tent. But I mean, did you ever use it? I never went anywhere in a green book.
No, I just saw it, but I never knew what it was. And I wish I had kept that sacred, but they didn't make it seem like it was a sacred thing, because they were so, it was like having a...
It was just everyday, that's what Black people did. I think we need to get back to that. I'm not kidding you. I'm going to start talking about it on my channel once I finish this second round of Africa videos. We need to buy Black. We need to go to Black restaurants. We need to buy our clothing from Black people. I don't care about the Louis Vuitton. I don't give a damn. We need to buy from Black people. We need to go to bed and breakfasts, hotels, restaurants, everything Black, so that we build up our economics and so that we protect ourselves from that kind of treatment, because it's emotionally and mentally debilitating, and we are too great to be subjected to that. Let them have their rest. I don't need their restaurants. I don't need anything they have. Everything I want, either I have it or somebody that looks like me can get it to me. I don't need it. I'm telling you, I don't care. Let's start building some cars too. I don't care. I mean, like, I'm so done with them, because they refuse to treat us with dignity, and I refuse to accept that kind of treatment.
Awesome if we could start that up again, because Biden didn't give us he gave the Asians their protection, but didn't give it to Black people, and that hurt me to my heart. I literally am like, I'm hurt by that one,
by from the man who told you, if you don't vote for him you're not Black. I mean, I can't with any of them. And what is Kamala doing? You know, what is she doing? She didn't say, well, Joe, idiot, if you're going to do this for the Asians and Pacific, you got to do it for
Black. If he had slid through the back door and said, I need protection for Black women and children, that way our boys and our girls came up through the slithering of that. You know what I mean? Even if he had just said it, worded it, and put it out there, we're going to give y'all that layer, we would have been like, okay, now we can work with something, but nothing.
They put aside, some millions of dollars for those people, but they won't even give us 10 cents. I can't with those people, but I guess we're done for today. And next week, we're going to have some guests and we'll have new topics. And, you know, we're glad to be back, and we're looking forward to everyone joining us. And we thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All righty. Good night.